Welcome to Hype, episode 148. My name is Selena. I have Pam and Merima here with me. It's a Wonder Woman hype today, almost, you might say. I'm pretty sure that's what everyone is super, super excited about anyway. I know that I am, and I'm sure my fellow co-hosts are as well. It's been an exciting news week for entertainment news, and we are looking forward to get into all of it, even the non-Wonder Woman related stuff, I guess. And we really appreciate your support of Hype, the show, and you can head on over to patreon.com/hypepodcast if you want to check out some of our bonus features that you get if you sign on to be a patron and to support the show. And one of them will be this week an extended discussion of Wonder Woman, because we are super excited about it and probably can't really think about much else. So please do check that out if you want to hear our extended discussion on that. You can also find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. And you can find us on Twitter at hypablehype. You can send us an email, which is hypepodcast at what is our email address?
Hype@hypable.com.
Oh my god. Hype@hypable.com. What the hell? And you can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And Instagram, @hypablehype. I think that's everything. I remembered. Yay. It's only been a week. Okay, so as always, we're going to start with how we hype. How are we all hyping? I guess let's get to the non-Wonder Woman stuff first. So, Merima, what have you been doing?
I went and saw something that is, I guess, tangentially relevant to Hype listeners. So people may know that they do a bunch of screenings of theatre from London through the National Theatre Live, where they like go and film something and then they screen it. It's what we have been talking about in relation to Cursed Child a bunch, where we're like, hopefully they film it and then screen it in cinemas. So last night I went to a screening of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and I wanted to mention it because it stars Daniel Radcliffe and also another guy, Joshua Maguire, who was in The Hour, for those of us who loved the best show ever on TV. And it's really, really great. It's basically, if you're not familiar, this is a Tom Stoppard play about the two characters from Hamlet, and it sort of intersects with the actions of Hamlet and then looks at the characters more in depth, but it's very, very funny. It's very moving at times also, and the production was fantastic. Daniel Radcliffe was really, really great, and the actual play must be exhausting because basically he and Joshua Maguire are on stage for the entire thing. Like, it's their Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and it's just them with other characters coming in and out. But I was really, really impressed. I haven't seen him do the musical that he did that has just gone out of my head because it's a little early in the morning, but this was something totally different, and I was like super impressed with his acting chops. So I know that's screening out in Australia, and they screen around the world at sort of various times, but if you haven't seen that, that could be something fun, something slightly different to catch. So I would totally recommend it. Really, really impressive, very funny. His comic timing is great. He was very suited to that sort of role, but he could also pull off the dramatic stuff. So props to Dan Rad. He's I think that kid's gonna go places, you know.
I think you might be right. I don't know. And Pam, what about you?
Well, I actually tuned into the One Love Manchester concert. There was a benefit concert. We talked a little bit about this last week. Ariana Grande came back about a week after the horrendous terrorist attack at her concert in Manchester to put on this benefit. All ticket proceeds and stuff like that, for which we're going to the British Red Cross. And it was actually kind of amazing that so many people still came out to this, and so many artists decided to still come out to do this, especially in the wake of what happened in London just a few days ago. And the whole concert is just like, it's beautiful. It's about 3.5 hours, and I highly recommend watching it. You can check out a replay on Ariana Grande's Vivo account on YouTube. You can also stream just the audio on Spotify for free. You can stream just the audio on Apple Music for free. And it's just so lovely. You guys know I talk a lot about music on here. Music is like a passion of mine for many reasons, but I think the most beautiful thing about music is the way that it has the power to heal and spread positive energy regardless of what language you speak. It is a unifier. And so just to see so many people come out in support of something like this was just lovely. You can also catch a bunch of the highlights, like if you want to just Google like specific artists and stuff like that. A bunch of people played at this show, from Justin Bieber to the Black Eyed Peas to Coldplay to Noel Gallagher. No Oasis reunion, unfortunately. As Oasis fans know, Oasis was, they're from Manchester, so it was a really big deal that Noel Gallagher came out. My favorite performances were Miley and Ariana's cover of Crowded House's Don't Dream It's Over.
Oh, I saw that.
And then yeah, that's like one of my favorite songs of all time. So I was like bawling watching that. And also Coldplay did a really nice cover of Oasis's Don't Look Back in Anger with Noel Gallagher's blessing. So that was really nice too.
And did you see, by the way, speaking of the Gallaghers, yeah. Did you see that tweet storm?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like always. I feel like they're always in some hot trouble. So it was nice that he kind of put that aside to come out and do this. And Robbie Williams rewrote some of the lyrics to Strong to kind of reflect Manchester. And that was really moving as well. So those are some little highlights if you guys just want to like YouTube the kind of biggest moments. But I highly recommend watching the whole stream. And it's kind of nice to have on in the background too, just to kind of listen to all of the messages of positivity. And just all of these performers are just phenomenal. So it was just a wonderful event. And yeah, filled me with much joy.
Yeah, really good. And my Howie hype was just, I wanted to point to Hypebol's Battleships, which has come back. It has been resurrected by Kyle, who first started it, I believe, back in 2012, so a long time ago. And it's basically this summer-long competition about, like, ships from different shows. And I think that the first round nominated, like, 40 ships or something, I feel. I don't remember how many it was. It was a lot. And now the actual rounds have started over on hypebol.com, and the first ship that's on today, so if you are listening to this, you aren't able to vote for it anymore, but it was Nick and Jess from New Girl versus Stydia from Teen Wolf. So a really tough starter to the death battle, basically. Like, it's a one vote in or out, and I think Stydia is winning by a large margin. So I voted for Jess and Nick, sorry, Teen Wolf fans. But that should be super exciting. And there's a bunch of really interesting ships. Obviously, there's a bunch of the 100 ships in the mix because I nominated like everyone. And it should be good. It should be really fun. It's always a good way to pass the time in the off season. So yeah, really fun stuff. Okay, so enough putting it off. As we said about Wonder Woman, that we will be doing a longer discussion for our Patreon. So basically just now for the regular show, we just wanted to do a quick sort of quick fire reactions to it. I don't know how many times you guys have seen it. I've only seen it once, to my regret. But let's go around the table. So Marima, what did you think?
No, pass. It was terrible. No, it was amazing. The best movie ever that I've ever seen in the history of the universe, obviously. I have only seen it once, but I'm already like evangelizing it to everyone I know, and I'm planning, I'm about to have a trip home, so I'm planning to take like everyone I know there to see it as well. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, we'll talk about it more in depth. I wanted to just say, like, it was so fun to see. We went to it, and I went with a bunch of girlfriends, and we wanted to take a photo with the poster. And there were this other group of girls there who were doing like the exact same thing. And I just looked around, and there were just groups of girls like standing around the foyer of the cinema, taking photos of the posters. And we were all doing like little photo shoots for each other. And it was one moment of many that was very emotional. So yep. It was a lot.
It was. And how about you, Pam?
Oh my gosh. I loved this movie so much. I cry about everything, apparently. Apparently I'm getting very empathetic in my old age. So yeah, I think I told the girls before we started recording that I think I cried like an exuberant amount of times during this movie, but I feel better because I guess I wasn't the only one. Like, I'm slowly seeing people tweet like, oh yeah, like this movie was very emotional for more than one way. And yeah, I think that it was just it was so good. I'm so excited to dive deep and not worry about spoilers or anything like that, so should be fun.
I know. Oh yeah, same. I went to see it on premiere day last week, and it was just, I mean, first of all, it was an incredible experience. I cried as well. There was one part I've been telling everyone, like during the Themyscira part at the beginning, I was just like watching those scenes. I was just like, I want to live there. I want it to be real. I want that to be the world. And then I started crying. Like, I'm so dumb. And also the action scenes in the movie just blew me away more than almost anything else. Like I was so excited about the action. And I was just so happy with the whole thing. And my brother and my mother both loved it. My mother actually had a really good comment. She was like, she was kind of like had this like revelation, like, so that's why we need women on film. Like, it was kind of like girls will grow up seeing this, you know, like little girls and older girls and all kinds of girls and boys will grow up and Wonder Woman will be on their screens just like all of the many, many, many male action heroes. And that was like, that was really sort of, I think a lot of people have had that realization how important that is. And my brother loved it even more than I did. He thought it was so cool. And he thought Wonder Woman was so cool. And he was so like, oh my God. And like immediately wanted to see it again. So just a really, really good experience all around. And we will just be discussing that much more in our patron bonus segment. For now, let's move on to the news. We have our first story here going from wonders to something fantastic. I don't know how that works. The second Fantastic Beasts movie is casting. It's got its adult Dumbledore and Jude Law. I'm still not over that. And its adult Grindelwald and He Who Shall Not Be Named. And they are now casting young Newt, young Dumbledore, and young Grindelwald, which I just got like a lot more excited for this movie than I was, because this implies not only that we're going to be going back, obviously, and exploring maybe some of Newt's time at Hogwarts, but it obviously also implies that we're going to be actually going back to the early stages of Grindelwald and Dumbledore's relationship, and we're going to see those events that hugely influenced the original Harry Potter series, like obviously the death of Ariana Dumbledore. And they're also casting a young Leta Lestrange, which is interesting because we're going to be probably seeing more of Newt and Leta's friendship at Hogwarts. And a new character named Sebastian, which is fun. I guess that's someone else at Hogwarts. I don't know. And also, like, not only is this cool because it means flashbacks, but I'm also just, like, sort of pettily excited that we get another Grindelwald who isn't Johnny Depp. You know, that there's going to be a part of this movie. Again, like what's his face? Colin Farrell in the Fantastic Beasts 1. There's going to be like another non-Depp Grindelwald to interact with Dumbledore in those scenes. I'm kind of excited about that, to be honest. How do you guys feel about this news?
I mean, in an age of CGI, I'm surprised that they're not just going to age people down.
like in Pirates, they're just going to age Johnny Depp down.
Like, even in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, like, it's just...
They're going to be, like, 16 to 18, so they're going to be, like, children. Fair enough. You know?
Okay. But they're not, like, I mean, well, like, for Eddie Redmayne does not look that old, is basically what I'm getting at. So,
but he's not going to look 13.
Yeah, and neither does... I guess if they're going that young, I just assume that they would be, like, sixth year students, you know? I don't know why. Just because I think
flashbacks, they're going to be like 13.
Different.
Newt and Leta.
Then they need children. And
then Grindelwald will be 16 to 18.
Okay.
Because it's not the same flashback.
I concede.
I think, like, I just don't care. Is that allowed? I'm just... I'm still really disappointed that the Fantastic Beasts movies turned into a Grindelwald Dumbledore prequel series. And so I'm like not interested at all in seeing that story. And I want to see I want to see those new characters that were introduced. This is less encouraging because it's like just confirms what we already knew, which is like, yeah, this is the story that they are now telling. And now we have to watch 5 movies of like J.K. Rowling's fun take on the Holocaust, which like I have literally could not have less interest in seeing. So, I mean, I like flashbacks. I would like to see Newt's time at Hogwarts. I think that could be fun. I'll like pass on the other stuff though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I'm still excited because this basically, to me, this seems like Fantastic Beasts, the 5 movie series that doesn't really seem like it can be about beasts. It's gonna be basically the Dumbledore origin story in disguise. you know, which, you know, you might argue, well, couldn't they just have done that from the beginning? But I kind of, now that it seems that's what they're going to be doing to sort of expand the series, I kind of like that they're taking anchor or what you call it in a character that we know so well, whose backstory has been such a mystery and who was really left so mysterious by the end of the series, because so much of what was said by Rita Skeeter in that book, we were told we couldn't really believe that, so we were left like, but what is the truth? Now we're gonna get that truth. So in that sense, I am excited, but I totally see what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it, I guess. Just, I don't know, it's lost the excitement for like all the casting news and everything. I'm still perplexed by Jude Law, and I'm still mad about that other guy who we don't talk about. So yeah, I guess I've ended this with my complaining, so we'll move on to our next story. Something else to complain about. We got the Murder on the Orient Express trailer. This is for, of course, the classic novel by Agatha Christie. It's a Hercule Poirot book, and it's very famous. And we kind of knew like a little bit about what was happening with this because there were those backstage videos that Josh Gad filmed of trying to get spoilers about Star Wars from Daisy Ridley, who are both in this. But now we have the trailer, and I think it looks really stupid. So I'm a huge, huge Agatha Christie fan. I'm a huge Poirot fan. I don't mind Kenneth Branagh, but like, I don't know who he thinks he is starring as Poirot when like David Suchet, who, you know, essentially like originated that role, is still walking around on the earth. Like, just cast him, just cast Poirot. And it seems like, I don't know, they're trying to make it into this sort of the tone of it just seems really off. I don't know if you guys watched this, but like, it's not at all the tone of like what Agatha Christie stories are meant to be. So that's cool, I guess. It's got a fantastic cast. It's got like Judi Dench is in this, and like literally all of Hollywood. So check it out if you're interested in that. As a Agatha Christie purist, I am pretty mad about it. But aww, you know, I guess whatever, that's fine. I can always go and watch the TV version of it starring David Suchet if I feel so inclined.
Yeah, that's sad because yeah, I've been sort of tangentially like, we're watching this project loosely, and the cast is like, again, Johnny Depp is there, but yes, it's a really good cast for the most part, you know. So it's unfortunate if it's not going to be good, but I guess it is made to be like a little bit, what's his face, God, what's his name, the guy with the hotel movie,
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it's like a little bit Wes Anderson-y, a little bit like that movie with Tom Hanks on the, with the snow and the train.
Snowpiercer? Oh,
that's no. That Tom Hanks.
I know. That's what I was like, what are you talking about?
Polar Express.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh God. I was like, what this train has become, like, snow a game movie? Of
like where you guess names.
Yeah, I, like yeah. I don't know if this is as enjoyable for the listeners as we might find it.
That's true.
I don't get the Wes Anderson vibe. It's just like they're trying to make it like a sort of action thriller type thing, and it's like that's not what Poirot is about. Poirot was about like going around and like meeting all the people and then like sitting in a room and solving the crime in his brain. Like that's what he does.
No, but I guess so, I just meant like by the framing of everything and stuff in the trailer, like they're really sort of setting it up to be like that sort of quirky kind of so they're going for a stylized version of the story, I will say.
They are, that's
what
indeed.
I was trying to say. Okay, so moving on to the next story. The Cannes Festival has been going on, and it's been great. People have seen a lot of great movies, and they've had a lot to applaud and or complain about. And an really interesting thing came out of it that I thought warranted a little bit of discussion, maybe, or at least to just bring it up, which is that Jessica Chastain, who was, you know, attending the celebrations, she pointed out that the films that she saw at Cannes made her feel a little disturbed in the way that they portrayed women, because she noticed that even though there are a lot of women on screen and they do sort of play big roles, and obviously there are exceptions to this, they really had sort of a lack of agency. She said, "One thing I really took away from this experience of watching all these movies is how the world views women. From the female characters that I saw represented, it was quite disturbing to me." She hopes that by having more female filmmakers, she will be able to see more of the women that I recognize in my day-to-day life, ones that are proactive, have their own agencies, don't just react to the men around them. They have their own point of view. I just thought this was so such a brilliant observation, because it's not just about visibility. Like, obviously we've had this conversation on Hype before, and it's not like it's a revelation or anything, but it's not always nice to see it expressed that it's a lot about the way that female characters are there at the end of the day to serve the male characters. You know, they're there to make the male story possible, and sometimes that's by being the love interest, and sometimes that's there by being like the quote-unquote badass, and sometimes it's there to be like the mom or the sister or the, you know, but having agency, just the simple fact of making a woman's actions in a movie or in a script not be in service of the male character's story but in her own story makes such a huge difference. And it's something that, I mean, look at Hidden Figures, the perfect example of women doing things because it was their story, not because they were part of some male driven plot. So even though obviously it was the men going to space, but you know what I mean, like it's such a small thing, and it's all part of the Bechdel test that I know has been getting some backlash, which I think is so unfortunate, because I think there's so much good to be said for the simple formula of, do two women speak to each other about something that isn't a man in the course of the movie? I mean, that's where it all stems to, and unfortunately that still doesn't happen a lot. So I was just happy she said that. Any comments on that?
It's just kind of surprising that it doesn't get said like often enough by women in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that Jessica Chastain, who is an advocate for many different things, is using her platform to voice that, because it's sad to think that it takes somebody brave to say something like that, but unfortunately that's the nature of the society mm-hmm. we're in right now, that this is considered like newsworthy and brave for her to, you know, say something like this. But mm-hmm. the more people like her call it out, the more attention it brings, and so that's always good.
I love her. I think she's great. Basically everything you said, and it's not like a new thing by any means, but she was like quite, you could tell she was like quite emotional when she was talking about it. And I think maybe that's contributed to why like it's kind of gone so viral. But hey, like it's obviously a thing that Hollywood and the world needs to hear. So good job, Jessica Chastain. Okay, moving on to finally something I can be excited about. Everyone's favorite new franchise, Paddington. We got a trailer for Paddington 2. This, of course, is voiced and stars love of my life, Ben Whishaw, love of Pam's life, Ben Whishaw. We can share, it's fine. And we're not getting the movie until like January of next year. So it's a little while to wait, but I just loved this first movie so much. I thought it was so fun. I thought it was really clever and like really, really great. And like, I went and saw it with my mom, and I'm 25 years old. So like, I will 100% be going to see this again. I do not need a child with me to pretend that I'm going with them. And yeah, it was so fun. I am very, very excited about this. So I don't know if either of you guys are Paddington fans, but I will be there opening day.
Yeah. Also, I do want to point out that Paddington is available to stream on Netflix. So no excuses.
Is it?
I will be rewatching tonight. Yes.
Oh my God. I wonder if it's on Australian Netflix. Oh, I hope to check this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's such a lovely movie. It like, it's just, it's all good. It's a good time. It's so sweet.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Why is it, you, wasn't Rupert Grint in the first one? Why is he not in this one?
No.
Was he? I have no memory of him in it.
Wasn't he?
My favorite thing about you, Selena, is like your consistent championing for Rupert Grint, which I agree with. Just like all of a sudden, why isn't Rupert Grint here?
Look. First of all,
I don't think
of course I am.
I thought he was in it.
No, I have no memory of him in Paddington.
He might be in it because Heyman is producing this. Is that why maybe you got confused?
But
Just because it's a British franchise and you're like, I mean, he'll be there, surely, inevitably.
Well, I could have sworn. Like, why? Like, because I was like, oh, he's just voicing a thing, and I was disappointed, and then I didn't want to watch it. Like, I swear I was panicked. Maybe he got, like, kicked off it. I don't know, I'm just going to double check real quick.
The only voice actor is Ben Whishaw. Like, everyone else is a person. Like, is a live-action
person. I'm so sorry. That he was in Postman Pat, the movie.
Oh, God.
Postman Pat.
Postman Paddington. They were close enough in my brain that I got them switched around. I'm sorry. Clearly not the same thing. Anyway. Never mind.
This is the best conversation.
Anyway, we can all get excited for Paddington 2, January 12, 2018. Mark your diaries now.
It's done.
Yeah, and I'll keep you updated on the Postman Pat sequel.
I can't wait for that crossover movie.
I know.
Well, I know we're all really excited about Paddington, but we also have some pretty sad news here. Netflix has officially decided to cancel the original series Sense8, which was a huge blow to the fan base. And honestly, I'm not the best person to be reporting this news because this is a show that I have wanted to watch but haven't gotten around to. But there are so many passionate fans that are obsessed with the show, including our own Kyle, who has been on Hype before, also writes for Hypeable. You guys all know Kyle. So if you want more information on why this is such a big deal, even if you have not seen the show, I would recommend checking out some of the think pieces that are up on Hypeable.com. But basically what he was saying in the original article that announced that the show was coming to a close and wouldn't be getting a third season is that it's one of the most expensive shows Netflix has. So because it does take place in countries all around the world and they actually go to shoot there for the sake of authenticity. So it's just really expensive, but it is unfortunate that another show that is so diverse and celebrates diversity has been canceled. And that's been a huge problem throughout the course of these bouts of cancellation that we have been seeing over the course of this season, this specific like season going into next season of television, and it's just so unfortunate that a show like this has gotten the axe as well.
It is. I mean, not just for Sense8, which genuinely, like, my timeline is devastated. Like, I follow a lot of the 100 fans, and they tend to overlap with Sense8 a lot. And it's just, it's given them and us and everyone so much representation that you don't see a lot. And Sense8, even though, I guess, I don't know if it had a huge audience. You never really know with Netflix, but it obviously got huge promotion and it got so much positive press. And it's just such a shame, first of all, to see it canceled, but also just like you said, to see so many diverse shows canceled. Underground got canceled, yeah. I think, like the day before. And I know that was like a part of a network like strategy change, but still, it's kind of, it's hard to miss.
You know how same it's thing almost happened.
Like TV.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say very quickly, the same thing happened with The Get Down, which is also produced by Netflix.
Right.
And it stars an exclusively almost black cast. Like, why would you do, you know, it's just so sad.
Interesting that Netflix, like, manages to find the money to pay for the most expensive show, like, in the history of the world that happens to star, like, all white people in The Crown. But, like,
The Crown,
thing that was Sense8. Really... honestly was kind of upsetting because they marked the same reasoning for Sense8 that they did for The Get Down, which was canceled a few weeks before. They were like, they're too expensive to make and we need to like prioritize basically.
Right, but remember, like, The Crown was like sold on how expensive it was, so like when it's white people it's like a what? Like when it's rich white people it's a selling point, but when it's anyone else it's like that's the reason to get rid of it. It's Netflix.
Yeah, like I was saying before, just to finish my point, that I think that it's kind of maybe a little bit of a worrying trend that could indicate, and I hope it's not, but could indicate a little bit of a surge back. You know, like there's been a wave of really positive representation, you know, Fresh Off the Boat and Blackish and Empire and all these great Scandal and all the Shonda shows. Like it has been, there's been a lot of diversity on TV in recent years, and it's worrying that we're seeing this wave because it could be maybe a sign that the tide is turning a little bit and people are getting a good, because it always comes in waves, doesn't it? But I think it's maybe too soon to cause alarm. But I am sort of like a little bit uneasy about these recent cancellations for those reasons.
Totally. Okay, some unfortunate news for Unreal fans, but like nowhere near cancellation. We found out this week that you're going to have to wait until 2018, the start of 2018 for season 3, which is increasing that wait a little bit. So if you are still watching, which I was not after season 2, which, you know, was a little bit of a downturn after the really stellar first season, you'll be disappointed to hear that star Constance Zimmer announced on Twitter it's going to be airing in Lifetime in the first part of 2018. And yeah, no word exactly why the delay is happening, but at least you know it's coming back. So get excited for that.
Hopefully they're taking some longer time to figure out a proper story this year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think this might be the make or break season, you know, like last season proved that the format itself is not enough to carry the show. And I think if they don't find something, like the first season was so fantastic and then last season was kind of a train wreck, and I didn't even end up finishing it. I think I stopped on like episode 6 or 7. I stopped on the police brutality episode. If you're watching, you will know of what I speak. So I think hopefully you're right and they needed to like take some extra time to sort of work out exactly what they're doing with it, because yeah, it didn't work last season, so we will see for season 3. Maybe they can turn it around, fingers crossed.
I hope so.
All right, well, moving on to something that I will be the only person excited about, but that's okay. Disney Channel is actually in the process of reviving That's So Raven, which is just gold in terms of, like, Disney Channel original series. So the upcoming spinoff is called Raven's Home, and we finally got a first teaser trailer for the show, which is set to premiere sometime this summer. And we finally gotten around to meeting Raven's kids. She and Chelsea are all grown up now. They're single moms, like doing the single mom thing, very similar to Fuller House, where they're all living under one roof. And surprise, surprise, one of Raven's twins has inherited her ability to see the future. And I feel like such an idiot because I was, you know, thinking about this. I was like, which one's it going to be? Which one's it going to be? Of course it's the boy, because that's like the easiest way to do it, right? You like spin the story on its head. You like gender swap. So instead of Raven, who was a teenager who had psychic abilities, now it's her son that has realized he can also gaze into the future. So I don't know. I just think that like these shows are all so fun, and they're just like really, I watch a lot of TV too with like my little cousins. So it's always kind of nice to know that there's something coming out that we can watch together. Don't have to worry about like policing anything, because they're like, you know, they're like 7 years old and stuff like that. So that's really nice. They did a really good job with Girl Meets World. I was really sad when that got canceled. So hopefully this ends up being fun as well.
Yay. I hope it is too for you, because I don't watch it.
Yeah, I've never seen this. Like it. I didn't know that she was psychic. No. You learn something new every day.
Oh, yeah. It's in the theme song.
Oh, no, I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard of that. Is Rupert Grint in it? Because
maybe we can champion for him to be a guest star.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so moving on. We have this is kind of interesting. I put this story in the doc because I'm very unsure and interested and intrigued and sort of about this. So there's a new vampire series coming to TV. We thought that they were dead, but vampires never die, wink wink. And it's coming to Fox of all places. It's gonna be led by Mark Paul Gosselaar, who of course we know from the fantastic and Gone Way Too Soon series, another diverse series that was canceled, Pitch.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Saved by the Bell. I was like,
me
what?
Too. I was really sad actually for a minute.
I was like, Gone Too Soon? That show aired for like 1,000 years. What?
Yeah, they went all the way to Hawaii and got married.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Man.
No, unfortunately, I was talking about Pitch. But yeah, so Pitch is gone, and Mark Paul Gosselaar is going to be in talks, at least. He's in talks to lead what is called The Passage. So it's not just going to be a vampire show. It's going to be a highbrow vampire show. You can tell from that title. And also, Genesis Rodriguez and Jennifer Farron, who I guess were on Time After Time, maybe the writers of the show. He joins them in the pilot of the show. It tells the story of a young girl who's plucked from foster care to be turned into a lethal killing machine with psychic abilities thanks to a secret government project. And he will play, Gosselaar will play the government agent responsible with delivering the young girl to the secret facility, but he can't bring himself to do it. So, and it's later learned that this young girl could be the key to saving mankind from a rapidly spreading infection. So we've got, you know, a little bit of Stranger Things in here, a little bit of The Last of Us in here. It actually sounds like if he does run away with her, spoiler alert, that is literally the plot of The Last of Us video game. And it also has a BJ Britt, who was on Unreal, actually, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Pitch. So there you go, another connection. He's great. So I'm glad to see him on there. And Sania Sidney from American Horror Story and Brienne Howie from the Exorcist series are also some of these stars. So, like, look, I don't want to be interested in this, but I'm super interested in this. I'm a sucker for these things. So I'm going to be tuning in and letting y'all know if it's good, if it actually gets picked up to series.
I don't think I'll be watching. Surprising no one. Well,
I'll watch it with you. This sounds fun.
Good. I'm glad. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to something that I had no idea there was a huge market for. Apparently, a sister-sister revival is also potentially in the works, because what is not potentially in the work these days? But this news actually comes from none other than Tia Mowry, who is, of course, one of the two sisters that play Tia and Tamara. Apparently, her and Tamara are working on trying to get it up off the ground, but they've hit a few snags. Mainly, they said that they haven't been able to find anybody that really wants to take the show under their wings and, like, produce it and write it and kind of serve as a showrunner, which she said she was kind of shocked about because she thought there would be more of a market for it. And honestly, like, I kind of agree, because these days they're kind of rebooting everything, so it is kind of surprising that nobody wants to take this project on. Even so, fans that are interested in checking this out at some point shouldn't worry, because the girls are not giving up hope, and it's just a matter of finding the right person to take this on. But they're really invested in trying to get it up off the ground, and they want to do it sooner rather than later. So kind of a developing story, but interesting that they're really adamant about trying to make it happen.
Was there a big market for Sister Sister? Like, this is another show that, much like That's a Raven, I remember it existing and have no idea what it was about.
So the show, actually, that's a good point. I should have probably prefaced that. So the show premiered, it was like late 90s, early 2000s, somewhere around there. And these girls were separated at birth because their parents couldn't afford to keep them. And like later on in the series, they kind of go into this whole like thing about finding their birth mother and things like that. So when they turn 14, they're both at the shopping mall, like doing back to school shopping with their respective adopted parents. Like, one has been adopted by a single dad, one has been adopted by a single mom, and they run into each other at the mall. And after that, so that they can get to know each other better, the parents decide to move in together and raise them both under one roof. And the show kind of goes from there. But it follows them through, like, college and stuff. And I definitely remember watching this when I would come home after school. It was, like, one of those shows that was always on reruns on the WB back then, now the CW. So,
yeah. I love the 90s back when, like, all you needed for a TV show was to be a twin. Like,
oh yeah, right,
then you'd be set. Like, that was enough novelty to be like,
maybe this
great
is why
idea.
I always wanted a twin.
Yeah, maybe I mean, I wanted
why.
It for, like,
I just wanted to
and
live
stuff.
My Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen fantasy.
Yeah. Your Tia and Tamara life. Spoiler alert, did the parents get together in the show?
Spoiler like, alert, yes,
knew it,
but like not
it.
Right away, like way far into
it's a will they won't they
the thing, not really, because she's definitely like won't, and she's got her own dating life and stuff like that. It's like actually like Lisa and Ray are the parents. Oh my god, I can't even. I didn't realize I had so much sister like.
Wow, back information maybe you should head. Be the showrunner.
Yeah, maybe I should. Anyway, so they're like complete opposites, and he's really strict and kind of like super uptight, and she's like a cool mom and goes on dates and is always trying to like let the girls have some leeway, and the dad's like, no, like my daughter, my rules. And so the girls are like opposites too. Like one is really studious and like kind of also uptight like the father, and the other one is like very like free spirited and stuff like that. And so
got it, the classic yeah. dichotomy.
Oh my god, that looks so good. That sounds so good.
It's a really cute show, it's so funny though, because like nowadays this sounds like regurgitated stuff because it's been done so many times, but like back when this was airing, it was probably very original. But it's just like one of those like TGIF lineup fun family shows that you could like watch, you know, together basically. So yeah, pretty mm-hmm. good. If you ever
it sounds like that movie episodes. With Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, it's like an extended Parent Trap, which is like one yeah, of the greatest yeah. movies of all time. So
it is.
I mean,
it is a good movie.
The exactly. Lindsay Lohan version, obviously, not the yes. not the original.
Is there an original?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Heather Mills?
Yeah, the blonde girl.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Oh, the blonde girl. That's the one. Okay, so moving on to TV show of the week. Mara, what do you have?
Oh, well, like, all my shows are finished, and by all I mean, like, the three things that I watch. So I have been doing a rewatch of Community. I am on season 3. Hey, remember this show? It was really funny. And they're only like 20-minute episodes. It's super easy. I'm sure it's on Netflix or something in the States. In Australia, it's on Stan, which is another streaming service if people want to check it out. I've just started season 3. I kind of just watch a couple episodes here and there. I like to watch like 3 episodes in a row when I have like an hour to watch instead of watching like some serious hour-long. Everyone else I know is watching like Twin Peaks and, you know, all these like weird like serious things, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch sketches on Community. So yeah, the show really holds up. It's really, really fun, and I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. I know that there were things I promised on Hype that I would watch, but like I can't remember what they were, so this is what I'm doing now. Sorry guys to let the team down. You can harass me on Twitter if I said I'd check something out. Oh, I was gonna watch Bill Nye, I think. But I heard that it wasn't that good, so I didn't want to like break my heart over my love of Bill Nye. So I was like, I will just stay away from that. But yeah, Community, it's a good time.
Awesome, I love Community. It's a good idea with a rewatch. I'm not watching anything since The 100 ended. I haven't picked up anything yet.
Are you in mourning still?
Oh no, I do have something. What?
Oh, you have something.
I do have something. Oh. I just wanted to say that a future TV show of the week, Wynonna Earp, premieres season 2, premieres this Friday. So I'll be watching that, and you guys should all check it out because it's so good. Okay, that's it.
Well, The 100 is officially streaming on Netflix now, season 4. So I will be watching that soon. But also, I watched a few episodes of the new season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and it's like I think I need to be in a Kimmy Schmidt mind frame to continue watching. So I kind of put it on hold. And I think it's just a direct result of binging Master of None and then going straight into Handmaid's Tale. And now I'm just like, Kimmy, you're probably great, but I just need to take a break. But the first episode, which I screened like way back when we first got screeners, was really funny. And like, Titus has this whole like going lemonade thing, like where he is like he's scorned, so he just decides he's gonna go like full Beyonce, and it's just like great. I think you can find the clip on YouTube and stuff like that. So he's just wonderful all the time. And David Diggs is like a guest star at some point too, so at some point I'll get back to it, but right now I need to take a break and watch something else. So
I want to watch the David Diggs episode. I don't like Kimmy Schmidt, but I will watch him. Someone holler at me with like what episodes
what episode?
his arc is in, so I can just watch them, please.
Okay, so moving on to listener feedback, we have some tweets. The first one is from Laura, Pam, and Merma. Do you want to just read those tweets?
Sure. Laura says, BookCon was so much fun. Oh, we're glad I remember now. We were giving her like con advice. It's good. Mm. She said, I got to meet Kristen Ritter. She was so nice. I did get all the books and I lost my voice. It sounds like you had a good time, Laura, if you lost your voice.
That sounds, yeah, that sounds like a good con. Erica says, listening to some hype backlog and surprised I didn't like Girl Boss. I thought Sophia's, quote, unlikability made the show more bingeable. Her attitude made me eager to see how she would fail next and made it somehow satisfying when she would succeed despite all the missteps. Cool. Mm. Glad you like it. Totally disagree. But, yeah.
I haven't seen it, so.
No, it's not good.
Kelby says, DuckTales and the Little Princess. You guys crack me up. Great show as always, ladies. Very entertaining and informative.
Oh. Marimar, do you want to get the email from Emily?
Sure. Emily says, just a quick comment. I was a bit surprised to hear your comments on Game of Thrones next season, seeming to trust Weiss and Benioff to give a satisfying ending to the story when they have proven time and time again to not understand the source material or give a damn about women. They turned a consensual sex scene between Jaime and Cersei into a rape and said she was okay with it. They chose to keep the Jane Poole storyline for Sansa because they felt it was riveting and chose to focus on Theon's feelings during her rape. I'm interested to hear how you've been able to look past this and trust the showrunners again, because I can't seem to. I'm not surprised other outlets have hailed Game of Thrones as the biggest feminist show ever, but I can see through the whole charade. Best, Emily. I think I was one of the people talking about this, so no, I totally do not think that it's a feminist show at all. But I think I may have mentioned this on the last episode. Like, I just need to know how things end. Like, I have this desire for, as I have discussed before on the show, like, I will occasionally, if there's a big reveal happening on a show I don't watch, like, I'll read the recap for the show, for the episode, just because I want to know, like, what happened. So this is much more about, like, I just want to see what the ending is. The Jaime Cersei scene, that was what made me stop watching the show in the first place, and I skipped like a season because of that. And then I just came back to it last season. So no, I totally don't trust the showrunners at all, particularly with their portrayal of women, which they have proven like is horrendous, especially based on the comments that they, I mean, it's one, the show is one thing, but then like the comments that they make about it afterwards just prove like they have fundamentally no understanding of what they speak. That said, George R. R. Martin told them how it ends, so I presume that like we will see that ending in some form or another, and like they've taken a different path to get there, and it's not one that I have always agreed with, and it sounds like it's not one that you have agreed with either, Emily. But I think the like fundamental facts of like who is on the Iron Throne, or like who is left standing, or like whatever, that stuff I think will be what George R. R. Martin said, and I guess, you know, we'll find out what that is. But yeah, I don't always find Game of Thrones like a very enjoyable thing to watch, particularly because of what happens with the women. If something happens to Sansa, like I'll quit the show forever because she is my number one. But yeah, hopefully that makes sense. It's definitely not a like disregarding of any of the issues that you have raised, which I totally agree with. But I don't know how you guys feel, Pam and Selena.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's sort of part of my, when I read this email, that was partly what I was going to say as well, that wanting to know how the story ends is, I think for me, just because it's been such a long and winding tale, I need to, the conclusion of the story, who gets to sit on the Iron Throne, if there even is an Iron Throne, if whatever happens to the world, whatever happens to the White Walkers, why they're there, why the dragons came back, why now, what's it all leading to? Like that for me is part of the overall like frame of the story being told. As for the elements within the story, I definitely do not think, I believe that this is a feminist show. I will say with the caveat that there are some characters that I feel like are super important in terms of representation. I think it's super important to have a Brienne on television. I think it's really important actually to have a Cersei on television, who is such a horrible human being and is just so unapologetic in her villainess, you know, and it's great. It's great to have, in the books, obviously, there are some more. It's great to have an Arya. It's great to have a Daenerys, even though I know she's sort of dividing the waters. And it's amazing to have a Sansa. And I think that the show, you know, some of the things that you mentioned, Emily, was part of the season that I think we all said last time where we stopped watching, you know, like actually stopped watching because it was too much, because it was horrible. What they did to Shireen as well, I've said before, that was a my breaking point. Like I was done at that point. But then the show, I heard so many good things about how the show had improved. I heard so many great things about Sansa. I heard so many great things about Arya. I heard so many great things about how the stories were finally moving ahead. And it feels to me now that the women are more at the center of things than maybe they were before. And that, as we just talked about earlier, that their stories are sort of more in service of themselves as opposed to being there for gratuitous reasons that the show has been guilty of in the past. And I do think there's merit to a show or showrunners learning from their mistakes and listening to the criticism and getting better. And I think that the show is showing that it can be. It's showing that it's going somewhere and that these characters are going somewhere. And I think that there's merit to that. But I also think that what Merrima said, if Sansa dies, you know, or if she's submitted to something else horrible, like there's only so much horrible you can stand. And there's only so many times you can... This is why I hate character death, like to a large degree, like as a way of evolving or developing the story, because it doesn't work. It just piles on and piles on and piles on. And with Game of Thrones, the more people die, the less I care. I don't think it's revolutionary. I don't think it's great. And that goes from The 100 as well. The more people they kill, the more I'm like, yeah, what's the point? And so, yeah, I'm watching it and I'm hoping for a solution and I'm hoping that I'm right in my feeling that they are learning from the criticism, but I could be wrong, you know? They could kill Sansa in episode 3 and then I would be done, you know? I definitely see what you mean, Emily, but I do, yeah, it's a big show with a lot of complicated characters and some problems and some things that are great,
but also
and it's just about how much you can stomach.
It's fine if you don't want to watch it too. That's cool. Absolutely. I quit Doctor Who. Like I've quit a bunch of shows for the reasons of like, yeah, the sort of mistrust of the showrunners that you're describing. Like that's a totally legitimate reason to stop watching something. And I know it can be hard with something like Game of Thrones when everyone is talking about it and it's like the thing of the moment. And I mean, I basically just illustrated that by saying like, I want to know how it ends. But, you know, we don't have to convince you. If you don't want to watch it, that's cool too.
All right. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. If you want your voice heard on the show, you can tweet us at HyperboleHype. You can find us on hyperbole.com, which is hyperbole.com. You can send us an email, hype@hyperbole.com. And if you want to follow us on Patreon, then you can get your voice heard there in our Patreon bonus segment and in our discussion, Patreon bonus discussion and all that good stuff. You can find out more and subscribe at patreon.com/hypepodcast. Thank you so much for listening, and go over to Patreon to listen to our extended Wonder Woman discussion. Until next week, my name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Arma.
Bye, guys.
Bye. The Wonder Woman theme to play us out.
Yes. I'll see if I can remember.
/ play me in for the rest of my life anytime I enter a room.